Welcome to Late Night Writers. On this episode, we talked with Michelle Romanes. She is a longtime RAM customer and an advertising executive at the Plaid Horse.
If any of our listeners have, were keeping up with the news over the summer of 2018 with all the fires and the flooding that happened in California, she was actually in the middle of all of that.
So she gives us some really good tips on how to be prepared for natural disasters and tells us a little bit more about the products that she uses on her farm.
For the brighter things, she actually gives us insight of what it's like to own horses in California and all the good stuff that comes out of that.
So enjoy. Welcome to Late Night Riders. I'm Gretchen, and I'm joined by my mom, Kristen, my grandma, Debbie, Trevor, and Michelle.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi.
Welcome. So, Michelle, could you tell us a little bit about your farm?
Yes, so I'm doing this video with you from lovely Agora, California, and we're at my little farm, Liberty Lane Farms, and this is where I have my horses and my daughter's ponies, and we have a couple of old retirees and other hunters, jumpers, and equitation horses, but it's really just a labor of love, my little family farm. And of course, we have ram fencing everywhere, so thank you. We love it.
So you have a couple pastures, and then don't you also, you just put in an outdoor arena, is that correct?
Yes, we just put in an outdoor arena. It's about 100 by 200. It's semi-ovally, and I love it.
So when did you start with horses? Like, when did you start riding, or did you have them at an early age, or did you get them later in life?
My dad made the mistake of starting me on the little pony rides at Griffith Park when I was probably 4 or 5. And then he found a friend who happened to have a pony in their backyard. And I thought it was an enormous horse. It was probably 13 hands. And it just grew from there. And, you know, here I am many, many, many years later and still riding. And now I have a daughter of my own. She's 8 and a half and she's doing the little small ponies. And so it's just still, you know, all in the family.
So have you always had horses, or did you just take lessons throughout those years? Or
I did lessons for a lot of years, and then one day my dad found a $25 Shetland pony.
Oh, wow.
And shoved it in the back of the truck and brought it home, and I was so happy to have this, what was probably the ugliest Shetland pony in the whole wide world. I loved him. His name was Spearmint. And and he was wonderful. From there, you know, we got another semi, $100 horse or pony or whatever we ended up having. And over the years, we just, you know, I just kept, you know, changing and upgrading. I've just had horses my whole life and went from just taking lessons to starting to compete on some of the local circuits out here and then into the national circuits and across the country. So, still doing it.
When you first started riding, Michelle, did you ride, because the pony was little, did you ride English or Western at that time?
I literally don't even think I had a saddle. I think I just rode bareback. I had a red fuzzy bareback pad that I remember so vividly, and we just rode bareback. I think I didn't have my first saddle until probably a few years after that. So then I started riding English, and I did that. And I also did some Western as well later on. We had these amazing horse shows out here where you could do, you know, an entire group of classes that were Western. And then you'd change your tack and literally ride the same horse. And then you'd change over and do English. And then you'd do that whole thing. And I don't know how these horses tolerated us, but they did. And we did it all. We had the whole Western outfit in one bag and the English outfit in the other. And it was great. I loved it. But I ended up sticking with English, and that's still what we do today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're out in California, and your property was right where the wildfires were this summer. Can you tell us what you did to prepare for those with your horses and what events occurred while you were doing all of this?
Yeah, so, we were still building the farm when the Woolsey fire came through. And luckily, I only had two horses, a horse and a pony here at the time, because process of building the arena. So I had other horses over to a friend's farm, not far from here, over in Calabasas. And so it was just the old retired horse and one pony out that were living outside. And thankfully, because we had, you know, just only owned the farm for about a year, we had done a massive amount of weed abatement and tree trimming, and everybody is pretty good about keeping the weeds down here, but we had just freshly done it. So thankfully, everything had been somewhat prepared should a fire ever come through. And when the time came, we got a call at 3 a.m. and we came over and evacuated everybody and got everybody out pretty quickly. The power went out, but we were able to just walk down the street, meet the trailer, and I threw those other horses in, and off they went to safety. So we were very, very lucky because we had made it very accessible for the fire department to get in here. We were one of the only properties that had completely vacated, and all of our driveways, which are sort of built for trailers, were able to give them a place to turn around, which is sometimes difficult out here in the rural areas. So they literally set up camp here, and I think it's one of the reasons that, and the amount of sand I had in the paddocks in the arena, there was nothing to catch fire. So their embers had nowhere to go but into the sand. So that was very lucky. I mean, we just got lucky. There were 13 to 14 homes that burnt to the ground up the street from me. And it was very random in the way that it decided to move. The winds were very bad. So we got lucky, but we were prepared, and I threw what was important into the trailer, and off we went.
Well, I can't imagine. I'm just can't imagine.
And it was very interesting. The fire literally came up to the edge of my paddocks, and I had untensioned the arena fencing probably 3 or 4 days before the fire. I had decided I wanted an extra, I don't know, 10 feet of a corner in the arena. And I made my guys untension all the fencing so that we could put it in new posts. And all of my neighbors thought the fencing had melted because it was rolled up and tensioned off to the side. And they thought, oh my gosh, we're so sorry, your brand new arena, you know, melted. And when I got back here, I was so happy to see it was just sort of laying, you know, coiled up in the corner, and that was it. And I tensioned it back up, and the arena was exactly as I left it. And as were the paddocks, the fire came right to the edge, and it didn't burn. We were so happy.
Aww, wow. Well, that's a really neat story. Wow.
So you went through all of that, and then you had some storms come through, right, after that?
Oh, my. And then we had so much rain. And, you know, in California, we've been experiencing probably one of the worst droughts we've had in, you know, a decade. And all of a sudden, we got 4 inches of rain in a matter of a couple of hours. And it just, there was nothing we could do to prepare for that. The hills just came down. And so then we had this black sludgy mud that came through the whole property. Oh. And it was so thick, there was just nothing to hold it back anymore. And even behind my paddocks, there's a big swale that I had already excavated, you know, a year or so ago. Oh, sorry, we have parrots coming through. A lot of parrots. You can hear those. Here they go. And, oh, sorry, another giant flock coming through. Sorry, wild parrot.
Wow.
So, wild parrots. Yeah, so came through, and I had to evacuate again. We literally were here for 2 weeks enjoying, you know, the farm being pretty much finished. And all of a sudden, the rain came and the farm flooded. And I had already pulled everyone out of the paddocks that live out and brought them up into the barn area, which was fine the whole time, but the paddocks, I lost 50, you know, tons of sand into the creek, and off it went down, you know, into the abyss. It was really awful to watch that happen. But the best part was I called the guys that did all my grading, and they came over with a mini excavator, and the best part about that was I was able to just untension the fence. They were able to crawl over into the back and stop the water from flowing over the retaining wall by digging out a whole new trench for it. And I didn't have to break any fencing. I didn't have to destroy anything. We just, two of us untensioned it, coiled it back up off to the side, and then the guys drove over. And once they were finished, they were able to just retension it back, and I had the paddocks back in, you know, 4 days.
Wow.
So another great, you know, great thing about the ram fencing. So easy if you have to do anything like that or have an emergency, which apparently we have plenty of those.
So is there any advice that you would give a horse owner after you've been through all of this?
I just really did a lot of research about what I wanted for my farm, and the ability to be so flexible, no pun intended, was really important. But the flexing of the fence was really important. And I think, Gretchen, I talked to you before, I gave you a testimonial about the old guy, he's 26 now,
yeah,
who got stuck on the fence because he likes to roll 25 times a day. And literally nothing happened to him. And had it been any other material, you know, the bump on his leg would have been a bloody mess for sure. Had it been wood or composite or any kind of plastic vinyl fencing, that would have been a huge vet bill and God knows what else. So the flexing of the fence is amazing, and it's beautiful, so easy to care for. You know, I have the white fencing, so every now and then I go out and I wash it down with, you know, a little bit of soap and water, and it looks brand new again. So
yeah,
I love it. And the arena turned out beautiful. It was, you know, I chose the brown fencing, and nobody else has that around me. So it's a really nice, unique looking arena. Everyone loves it. I get so many compliments.
Yeah, that's so nice. Thank you so much. Though, you know, we can tell people, but it's so good to have, you know, our customers and another horse person say it too as well, because we have our horses and have our horses behind it as well. But just to hear everything you've gone through, that was a lot.
Yeah. And we definitely got hit financially pretty hard with the flood and the fire and everything else, trying to replace all sand and material. And the fact that we didn't have to break the fence was, you know, it was a really nice thing, because I just looked at that beautiful arena and the paddocks and thought, oh my gosh, thank goodness I don't have to sit here and rip all that out and start over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, if you want to make changes or change the size or configuration, it's so easy to do that with this fencing. And sometimes I've, you know, three very large paddocks for California. We don't have paddocks that are 100 by 70. They just don't exist. People don't have that kind of room. And so while I love them so much, every now and then I need to make them smaller to accommodate more horses. And it's easy to do that. So the tensioning is fabulous.
Well, I love that perspective, because when we, you know, sell it, we sell it for, you have it up and it stays up and virtually maintenance free. You know, you don't have to do anything with it, but here you are using it to put it up and take it down for, you know, specific things that happen, you know, weather type things. I mean, this is a really neat perspective to have for us too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And you never know if you need to do something, you know, outside of your arena or outside of your paddocks, mm-hmm. and maybe you can't do it because it would require you to take down the fencing and put it back up. And this makes it very easy. I had guys come out, and we had so much rain that we had what's called a super bloom out here, mm-hmm. and everything is just gorgeous. However, the weeds and all the grass, so much more than we could handle. And so I had to have guys go back there and weed whack and clean up, and they, you know, it was easier for them to do that with this fencing rather than having to like take machines back there. I don't even know how they would get back there with the machines, but you just untension it. You don't want to do it every day, mm-hmm. but you know, when you're heading into fire season again, it's better mm-hmm. to be safe than sorry.
Right.
So you've had a really interesting career. I was looking you up earlier, and we wanted to know, you know, how did you start, and how did you get into the position that you are today?
So I started with Disney years and years ago, and I did my Disney I went through the Disney corporate internship program and started my career in advertising and marketing, and went through both the music industry, the entertainment industry, advertising industry, and then I got onto the other side of sales, and I worked for Rolling Stone magazine, TV Guide, Interview magazine, and then I switched over to Sirius XM satellite radio. I did some, you know, other radio work, and then I got into back into the movie business with National CineMedia, and then Clear Channel iHeartRadio. So I had a pretty lengthy corporate life, and I had an opportunity to, you know, scale life back a little bit and do this with the farm and spend more time with my family and my kids and my horses and my husband. And I took it, and it was a big life change, but it's been awesome. So I have no complaints. I really loved my corporate life, but I am loving being able to do what I do now. And I also married this with working for the Plaid Horse and Plaid Horse Network. So that gives me the opportunity to sort of stay in, you know, in the corporate environment, even though it's not corporate at all, but it gives me that real life day to day, and marries it with horses. Oh, there it is. Hi. It is.
I want to put that up there. Horses. There you go. There you are. There's Michelle's magazine.
So it's the best of both worlds. I started out my career in sales in print, and moved into network and radio, and everything that the Plaid Horse is offering right now, I still get to do all of it in one, you know, place, and I get to do things with the horses. It couldn't be a better marriage between, you know, my previous life and to the horse life.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, what the Plaid Horse is and, like, articles that you can read in the magazine?
So the Plaid Horse is America's, you know, premier.
Show again.
Yes, so we, you know, have the printed source. You can also read it online. We just launched the Plaid Horse Network, and we're going to be doing live streams from various equestrian events across the country. So not necessarily just Hunter Jumper, but we're doing steeplechase and other things that are pretty unique and interesting. We have a wonderful blog. We have a huge, robust social profile with Facebook and Instagram. We have a Plaidcast, which is our podcast. And oh, there's one of the articles. I'm seeing that one. Oh, wait, I can't see that one. Oh, I still can't see it, but yeah. And so we have Plaidcast and Plaidcast Junior. And we're just growing, and, you know, one of the unique points of difference that we have is that we're also live at a lot of these events. So we have people across the country that attend, and we do, you know, live interviews and stream them. So it's a really exciting time to be a part of Plaid Horse.
Yeah. Did you say the Plaid Horse and Plaid Horse Junior?
So we have a Plaid, our podcast, we call it the Plaidcast. And then we also have a Plaidcast Junior. So we invite different people to come in and speak and be interviewed, sort of like what I'm doing with you guys today. Mm-hmm. And we have a separate version of the Plaidcast that's really geared towards the more junior rider set.
Okay.
Which is really fun. So we get some unique perspective from younger, up and coming horse enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And yourself, Michelle, do you ride in the shows? Are you showing, or are you, where are you with your, that part of your life too? Now the magazine, I know, is all Hunter Jumpers and that type of thing. What are you doing?
So I typically compete in the amateur owner division of the Hunters. I took a little break from it over the past few years to build the farm. And then, you know, I'm actually going to go back. I'm going to go down to a horse show tomorrow and participate in a clinic that I also help develop with Balmoral and Tracy and Carlton Brooks. So I'm going to go participate in that clinic with my daughter. We're going to bring our horses down. And I'll get back into the show ring, hopefully soon, now that the farm is sort of settled. But I also just spent a couple of years letting my daughter start with, you know, her ponies and doing the little cross rails and standing on the side of the rail, you know, like biting my nails and being the mom, which is a very unique role for me, not in all the time. So I've actually had a really good time just taking her and the ponies to shows and getting back into my local circuit. It's, you know, it's really fun that we have a pretty nice local circuit out here where she can go horse show and it doesn't break the bank. And, you know, she can go get her practice and do her rounds and you know, have a fun time on the weekend.
Sounds like you're pretty busy. I don't know how you do it all.
What do you see as the trend with children? Do you see children that are, do you see it backing off, or do you see more children coming in to horses?
I think, you know, had some ups and downs with it. I think it follows what's going on with the economy. Oftentimes, there was definitely a big downturn in attendance, at least out here, for you know, a while back in like the 2009, 2010 time. Mm-hmm. But I've seen the numbers grow, and we're back into having, you know, 20 plus competitors in the different divisions. When you get into the ponies, sometimes it's a little bit smaller. But I do see a lot of new kids coming in. I think trainers and barns are getting really smart, offering different ways for kids to come in at any level, mm-hmm. which is really nice to see. I mean, we need those kids. Our sport depends on those kids coming in and being able to get the hours. You know, if you think about those 20,000 hours you need to become an expert in anything or to get really, you know, truly good at something, you have to be able to provide that to them. And so I think both the horse show managers, at least out here, and the trainers are looking for ways to give those young kids the opportunity to learn and grow. Otherwise the sport dies, and we need young professionals, and you know, we need those kids to compete and grow and come up through the ranks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We agree.
Michelle, how can you subscribe to the Plaid Horse?
So you can go on to theplaidhorse.com online, and you can subscribe right there. And you can have the issue delivered, you know, right to your door, and you can also read it online. I still am a huge fan of the traditional printed mm-hmm. magazine in my hand that I love to read, you know, being coming from the days of print. I still really like being able to hold that and carry it around. It's really fun to see people walking around the horse shows reading the magazine. So I'm a huge fan, but you can read it online. But you can also just subscribe to it at theplaidhorse.com.
Well, awesome. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will enter our next segment, Canter Banter.
Do you love horses and live the equestrian lifestyle? Be sure to check out our brand new blog at www.yourhorsefarm.com. We publish 3 posts per week and feature a free printable equine checklist every month. Yourhorsefarm.com is a great equine online resource, so be sure to share with all the horse lovers in your life. And remember, laugh much and ride often. Our next segment, Canter Banter, is brought to you by Ram Horse Fencing and Stalls, the one-stop shop for your horse farm. Ram is family-owned and operated and has been in business for over 30 years. We welcome you to call in and speak with an expert about your next project today at 866-653-8984. Again, that's 866-653-8984.
How are you, Michelle?
Good. I can't show you the farm because I'll lose the connection if I go too far away from the house.
Well, it's good to see, and it's good to see everything green out there.
I know. See, wait, I can go like this. See, green.
Yay. Aw, looks good. Isn't her farm is beautiful?
It is. Gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Her fencing is beautiful. We saw one of her paddocks, and it's just so beautiful. We could see parts of it, and then we couldn't kind of go that far with Wi-Fi, but it was really neat to see.
So just jumping right in, on this episode of Canter Banter, we have a surprise guest. Veronica is joining us. Veronica is the account manager for Michelle, and she made sure that Michelle had all the products that she needed. Yes. And so she's joining us.
Yes. Yay, I finally get to see you in person.
I know, this is really exciting. I mean, I don't get to see my customers because, you know, I don't get to go to California because it's not in the budget. But.
Well, as I said to you guys plenty of times, I would not have been able to do this without Veronica. She was, like, beyond patient. I sent her these drawings of what I wanted to do, and they were so rough, it was like a preschooler drew them. And she was able to put it together and tell us how to create the dimensions and how to measure and guide us. I think my husband and I had her on speakerphone for like hours and hours and hours. We opened our mind three times and we had to configure, well, where are the gates going to go and how is this going to tension and where and the strength and what kind of posts to use. And oh my gosh, it was a process. But
yeah, you know, yeah. And it is, because I do this every day, so it's easier for me. But I also understand you being the end user don't have that knowledge. That's why we spend so much time with our customers to make sure it is done properly, installed properly, use the right posts. You know, I think I even told you at one point, let's move the gates over here so we don't have to do all this here and save you money kind of thing. And we do that, yeah.
And it turned out to be so much safer to have the gates mm-hmm. opposite than yeah. right next to each other. Mm-hmm. So that was great. And much easier when I have had to adjust the gates because the horses decide to push on them or kick them or whatever they do.
So during our break, Michelle was telling us about how she had some ponies come and visit.
Are they your ponies, or are they ponies from somebody's place that burned? Or
No. So these actually came from Exonia, Wisconsin, from Stonewall Farm. My friend Emily Ellick had, 50 ponies at her farm. And it was like negative 25 or 30, and the ponies were just out. You know, a lot of them were out. They lived outside. They're in the snow. And I said, I would be happy, Stella, my daughter, and I would be happy to host a set of ponies if you'd like to send them to California. And I have a couple professionals that, came in and, came to see the ponies and tried the ponies and leased the ponies. And I thought, if these ponies could have the opportunity to live in California, sunny California, when it's not, fire or rain or anything, earthquake, they would have so much fun. And so, yes, it was really nice to actually have my farm full for the very first time and use all the space that I had created. Because for the longest time, I've had one 26-year-old retired equitation horse and one small feral pony. And and occasionally my horse or another pony would come in, but I have the capacity for 15 plus anyone that lives outside if they want to, and I've never used it. So it was actually really great to be able to use all the space in the new arena and being able to turn out the horses and have them go run and play in the big paddocks. And so it was a nice experience. It was a lot of work, but we had so much fun with these ponies, and they came in all shapes and colors and sizes and
winter coats.
Really good opportunity for my daughter, who was heartbroken when two of the golden ponies, got leased out, and they were so cute. And she thought she could not understand how these ponies were not all going to be hers.
Aww.
But it was a lot of work, and so she was, a little bit relieved when they all left. Actually, the last few left yesterday. So the ones that didn't stay in California went back to Wisconsin, but at least it's not negative 25 anymore.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Michelle, it was so amazing to have you on our podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening to our podcast and encourage you to share with all your equestrian family and friends. You can tune into the Late Night Riders podcast show every Friday night. Each episode will be uploaded exclusively on YouTube, where you can subscribe to our channel to stay up to date with our latest shows. Do you have a topic you'd like to discuss? We want to hear from you. You may email us at podcast@ramfence.com or feel free to leave a comment below. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Thank you. Great seeing y'all.